everybody. Thanks for coming back to Jesus and Jill just for today. I am a walking contradiction right now. I am equally excited about this episode. Half of me is excited and half of me is a tiny bit apprehensive because I don't want my intent to be misconstrued at all. So please, Lord, in Jesus' name, help me to approach this episode with clarity and help me to communicate it in a way that gives you glory. So I listened to a sermon a few years ago. It was probably one of my favorite sermons of all time. I have about a top five, top 10 sermon list that I always return to whenever I need a shot in the arm of Jesus. And Louis Giglio's Man in the Mirror sermon is one of my favorites. I've talked about it with you before, but the things that Louis Giglio wrote on the mirror in that sermon are the following. I love you. I'm thankful for you. You are rare and beautiful. I forgive you. I have a special purpose for you. I'm going to hold you to a high standard. I believe in you, and I'm cheering for you. So what Pastor Louis said in that sermon is that these are the things that God is continually speaking over us. He's speaking this through His Word. There are scriptures to back up every one of these statements. And what Pastor Louis challenged the listener with is that if this is what God is saying about you, then wouldn't it be beneficial for you to say these things about yourself? Not in an arrogant way, but in a God-confident way. If God forgives me, then why am I harboring unforgiveness toward myself? If God has a special purpose for me, then why am I selling myself short? If God believes in me, then why do I engage in self-deprecating talk and self-deprecating behavior? And if God is cheering for me, why? Why am I not also cheering for me? But today I want to focus on the one statement that Pastor Louis said, and it was, I'm going to hold you to a high standard. And if God is holding me to a high standard, He's always forgiving, He's always loving, He's always extending mercy and grace, but the standard is always staying high. If God is holding me to a high standard, then don't we have a responsibility to believe the best about others and encourage them to live their very best life? And so that's what I try to do. I try to believe the best about myself. I try to believe the best about others. But what happens when you find yourself, or what happens when I find myself in a new relationship where some decisions precede me in that person's life or my influence in that person's life? And I need to chat with you about that today because we have found ourselves, Mitch and I have found ourselves in that very situation. And God has been glorified in such a supernatural way. I can't not tell you about it because I want to give Him glory for what He has done in this situation. And I want to believe that Philippians 1:6 is going to be true in this situation because Philippians 1:6 tells us that what God started in us, He will bring to completion, even if it takes until the day that Christ returns. So I want to focus on one scripture, and it is my life verse. I love this. Well, actually, it's two scriptures. 1 Peter 2:9-10. I am weird. I'm peculiar. I'm different. I'm a square peg in a round hole, and that haunted me for a good portion of my life. And then Jesus set me free, and now I wholeheartedly accept that label, that I am weird, I am peculiar, and I am set apart. So listen to 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10 from the Message. But you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do His work and speak out for Him, to tell others of the night and day difference He has made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. I believe it's the NIV that says, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. And so, keeping that bar nice and high, and always holding myself and always holding the people that I love to a high standard, that is countercultural. And so the rest of this episode is just going to be an open share because it could take a little while for me to get this out. Hi, my name's Jill. I'm a grateful follower of Jesus Christ, and I celebrate recovery from overeating and codependency, but I still struggle with insecurity and fear. So, my daughter Holly is in love. She went to college, not at the college she wanted to go to. She had her heart set on going someplace totally different. God wanted her at Austin Peay, and it has been the best year of her life. She's home now for summer break. She's got a job, and she's loving life, but she misses college, and she misses her boyfriend, Elijah. So I got to tell you about Elijah today. Mitch and I have had conversations with our kids probably since they were in about second grade about how we do not pay for college and they are not allowed to take out student loans. I know I've told you this before. And Holly worked really hard. She got her ACT score high enough to where college was not going to cost her anything more than what she could pay for up front before the semester started. And then she met Elijah. She and Elijah started hanging out in the library together. They are both science, technology, engineering, and math majors, so they have a heavy course load, which requires a lot of study time. And they just realized that they had a lot of things in common, so they started studying together. And then there came a time where there was more of an emotional connection between the two of them than just an academic connection. And they started falling for each other. They started falling in love. And then one day I'm on the telephone with Holly. She's telling me all about Prince Charming Elijah, and he is really, really wonderful. She's telling me all about him, and I just say, Holly, do you see any red flags? Do you feel like you're on the same page? You are both Christ followers, but do you have any priorities that you're not sure he has? And she was like, well, we haven't really talked extensively about money or about debt. And I said, okay, before this gets much further, I think you might need to do that. How do I do that, Mommy? And so I encouraged her to pray about it. I encouraged her to share with Elijah the standard that we had set for our kids before they went to college. And just ask him how he's paying for college. Just lay it out there. She was really scared because having those kinds of conversations, that seems a little bit intrusive, and it seems, it kind of seems like it would be within his rights to go, I'm sorry, that's really none of your business. And maybe it's not any of her business, unless there could potentially be a future between the two of them that they need to explore. I won't belabor any of the details. But through some really difficult conversations, Holly and Elijah realized that they were in vastly different places. Elijah has student loans. And this isn't where I myself am going, oh, not student loans! there are so many worse things than student loans. But in 2019, high school students, I feel like, have been fed the biggest lie from the enemy that says, take out these loans, go to college, it will be so easy to pay them off. And then you talk to people who are a little bit older than that, maybe 5 years outside of college, 10 years outside of college, and they're still nursing these student loans, and they can't seem to get them paid off, and they can't seem to move on with the next phase of their life. They don't have the margin that they need to be generous when God calls them to be generous, because they're paying a second house payment in a student loan. And so Holly and Elijah discussed how they could pay off these student loans. They hadn't really told us how they had decided to pay off these student loans, except for the fact that Elijah had a heart-to-heart conversation with my husband, Mitch. He wanted to know if he and Holly could make their relationship official and if they could post to Instagram and social media. So basically he said, can I date your daughter? Do I have your permission to date your daughter? And Mitch said, yes, you do have my permission to date my daughter. You do not have my permission to do anything other than date my daughter. And don't even talk to me about marriage until you figured out how to pay off your student loans. And I think Elijah kind of like lost his breath for a little bit. So that happened over Christmas break. Now we fast forward to the end of the semester, where Holly and Elijah are sitting at my kitchen table, and I'm just kind of talking with them. We're just chatting. And I said, Elijah, what are your plans? You only have 1 year of college left, and then you graduate. And he looked at me a little bit cheeky, and he said, it's going to take a little bit longer than 1 year for me to graduate. What do you mean it's going to take longer than a year? And he said, well, Mama Jill, I'm only going to take 2 classes this semester, so that I can work and pay off my student loans. And Holly and I are going to graduate together, debt-free. And then we're going to get married. And I couldn't keep my composure when he laid out such a counter-cultural plan. Not just for his future, but for his future and Holly's future. And God willing, my future grandchildren's future. Like, he's changing his destiny right now. And so I reached out to Holly and Elijah, and I just asked them for details, because I wanted to tell the story as accurately as I could. Over the last 3 years, Elijah has been in school on scholarships and student loans, but he's taken out 3 years worth of student loans, and he feels as though, accurately speaking, that it will take about 3 years at this pace to get them paid off. He said maybe 3.5, because he also wants to build his $1,000 emergency fund. He's been through Financial Peace University. He just had never really had someone set a high bar. And when somebody set a high bar, he was willing to jump high enough to hit that sucker. And I'm so proud of this kid. I am so proud of his willingness to delay the gratification of graduating from college so that he can graduate debt-free. And I admire his willingness to sacrifice what he wants for something he wants more, which is getting married and living debt-free. And so I asked each of them for a quote that I could share with you. And so I specifically asked Holly about how she was able to overcome her fear of asking him about money and asking him about credit card debt and paying for school. And this is what she said. She said, I wanted to make sure we were on the same page with money before I fell in love with him. And by the grace of God, we are on the same page. And so the conversations became easier every time we had them. Holly also said something that I feel like displays wisdom beyond her years. She said, I chose to have the conversation anyway because money is very important in relationships. And if I'm not willing to talk about it while I'm dating, I won't be willing to talk about it after I'm married. And she saw that that needed to be a priority in their dating life if it was going to be a priority in their married life. The precedence had to be set now. And then this is what Elijah had to say. I asked Elijah about the fear of what people might think if it takes him 6 years to graduate rather than four, the fear of what people might think or how people might respond to him going from a full-time class load down to just two classes a semester. And he said, fear, if I'm honest, was there somewhere for a while, but everything in the past year that involves my relationship with God has involved dealing with fear in some way, shape, or form. And he was willing to face that fear and push through it and reject what culture has to say about graduating in 4 years. If, and I'm going to steal a Dave Ramsey quote, but if we're going to live like no one else, then we have to be willing to live like no one else. And taking your senior year two classes at a time so that you can pay off debts and get married debt-free, if that's not living like no one else, I don't know what is. And so I want to wrap up. I know this has been a long episode. Thanks for hanging in with me. But I didn't even meet Elijah until Hunter's freshman year of college. So my priorities and my values were something that I almost had to challenge Elijah with after he was already an adult. But isn't that what believing the best about others sometimes entails? You don't always have the opportunity to speak into toddlers or elementary school age kids. You have influence over coworkers. You have influence over people that you've just entered into relationship with. What are you doing with that opportunity? What am I doing with that opportunity? And Lord, help me to believe the best and cheer for other people, but always keep that standard high, because the standard is holiness. Thank you so much for letting me share. And certainly, give me your testimonies, because I want to rejoice with you. Email me, message me on Facebook, do whatever. Let's close with the serenity prayer, and I'll catch you next week. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. Thanks for listening to Jesus and Jill just for today.